But sometimes I look back on Facebook and I see some of the statuses and takes that I had that I used to openly express, and I'd be like, bruh, I can't believe I said that shit, bruh. God damn, sometimes that shit just be like, damn, nigga, you had balls, bruh. For real, because niggas be, because I mean, some of the shit that's being damn said, oh man, it's crazy. But, oh, that's the thing. What are the other articles and shit you got? Because, I mean, we can't watch the video. Chickity chat, chat, chat. Hey, I like that. Sounds really.
So we're going a different direction.
Chickity chat. What you mean?
Chickity chong chopsticks.
Nigga, I ain't you. I ain't finna be with that whole, like, nah, bro. Like, I appreciate going to you know, spaces, Asian spaces, and not inflating.
She think you finna go over there and they gonna be like, ooh, Godzilla.
Damn, bro. Like, what we gonna do with you, man?
Oh my God, I thought Michael Jackson was dead. Michael Jackson Prince.
Hmm?
Michael Jackson Prince.
Michael Jackson Prince, who me?
Mm-hmm. Oh, they got the internet now. Never mind.
Why you stupid?
If it's like 10 years ago, you could have pulled that off.
I guess. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another adventure of the Ninja Please podcast. I'm your host, Starman, a.k.a. Yuki, a.k.a. Fox Blunt, affectionately known as Shoulder Baby, John Bunstantine, a.k.a. Gang Gang Renz, Gang Gang Lorenz Tate, also known as Weekend Adams. I'm here with one of the greatest ninjas ever do it. Ocean's in the building, a.k.a. Go ahead. You gotta do some tempo on it.
Nah, I'm going slow. I'm gonna slow this thing down.
Beat it up.
It's me. It's Ocean. AKA Turn them on camera.
Not like that. Like with some style, nigga. Like, figured I'd do it before you get out on beers in your system and.
Yeah, you beer in your system.
Ocean. I feel like an ocean.
It's Ocean, man, a.k.a. Tony Montcamera, a.k.a. the greatest to ever do it. That's it.
Still working on that, man. Still working. I do need my...
Fade.
All right. Welcome to the Ninja Please podcast, ladies and gentlemen. This is Starman here. And Ocean and this thing today. We got a few things to discuss. First and foremost, Ocean brought me. Okay, so it was lost on me that there was a complete backlash of the Rihanna Vogue cover with A$AP Rocky and their child. I did not know that there was a backlash. Like, I can't say I've been living under a rock, but, you know, Shade Room and World Star and like, everybody else will talk about this shit for, like, one day, and then it's gone. So I guess the day everybody was talking about it, I missed it. But I kept seeing everybody, the people I follow were outraged at the outraged. So I didn't see the initial outrage. I just saw the people who were upset that people
were upset.
And I'm like, okay, so who was offended and what happened? So I studied the Vogue cover, and I was like, I don't get it. And I ain't saying that to push no narrative. I literally saw this Vogue cover, and my favorite thing, someone did a Dragon Ball Z reenactment of the Vogue cover with Rihanna as Bulma and A$AP Rocky as Vegeta and Trunks as the baby. And I thought that was dope. I was like, damn, that's what's up. That's dope. But, I mean, all I saw was a man holding his child, holding his woman's hand, who is the star, who just did the Super Bowl, who's from the perform at the Oscars, who made $1 billion. I mean, this is Rihanna's photo shoot. This is not A$AP Rocky's photo shoot. This is Rihanna's moment. This is her, like, her moment. She's the mother, bro. Like, just really doing her thing, bro. This is Rihanna's moment. And although I'm not in the Navy, I'm no Rihanna stan, I simply just be like, bro, this is Vogue, bro. Rihanna's on the cover of Vogue. I feel like if you a good nigga, bro, you ain't got no problem playing the background for your woman, bro. You gonna hold the baby down like
about you.
It ain't about
and
you.
It's like nothing. Rihanna could have done this whole cover by herself.
Mm-hmm.
Whether her team, whether the people who could have said, "Hey, we want to include your family," they showed an image that isn't shown a lot. I can't tell you the last time I've seen a black family on the cover of a magazine as prestigious as Vogue. I cannot tell you the last time I've seen a black family.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, and see, you could have got Rihanna and the baby, but I would have pushed the whole, I feel like that would have pushed a completely different narrative.
Susie from Rugrats.
Susie with Rugrats, right? Yeah. No, you got her and you got her and her man holding hands, and he's holding his son. You got a man kissing his son, being affectionate to his son on the cover.
On the cover of a magazine.
None of these people are light-skinned, my nigga. Like, everybody on this...
Yeah, black.
Black, bro. Like, I feel like there was so much power, and I'm disappointed. Once I find out about it, I'm really disappointed in how the men... Like, bro, y'all niggas some narcissists, bro. Y'all really try...
Y'all way to get...
Y'all... Because it's more
men don't fucking
men.
Read Vogue magazine. I ain't never been to a nigga house and he got a Vogue magazine. I've never been to a barbershop that had a Vogue magazine.
All I know is, anytime I've heard about... I heard about a nigga letting the work dry on a Vogue cover. you listen to some West Side Gun. It got a song called Vogue Cover about letting the work dry on the Vogue cover. But niggas ain't working the Vogue cover. Like,
West Side Gun probably end up on a cover.
Vogue cover, because he West Side Gun, bro. That's different. But I'm he probably got Vogues.
But the video that I sent you, the guy that was checking his Jerry curl before he sat down to talk about how other niggas would be prey to him and shit like that. Like, nigga.
You just said niggas was prey to you, and you checking yourself and like, bruh, like, I swear, bruh, like, niggas.
Y'all niggas are weird.
Something wrong with these niggas. These niggas weirdos, and honestly, with me getting on the dating scene and really just kind of, like, being out and about, meeting women, trying to, like, just build things and connect.
You suffer because these niggas is weird.
These niggas is, bruh, because these niggas, bruh, these niggas leave these women with so much baggage. They leave them with so much trauma and so much bullshit where a nigga like me can't even get no back rub these days. You know what I'm saying? Like,
hold it down.
For real, like, no, like, Andre saw this shit coming, bro, like, niggas just fuck it up, so when you come along, it's so normalized that when a nigga who don't reflect that comes along in people's lives, they really think something wrong with you. Like, I've been accused of being on the DL because I don't have any of these toxic, hyper... I can't even call this shit masculine, bro. Like, toxic and masculinity ain't even... You can't... Bro, the true embodiment of being masculine has nothing to do with toxicity, bro. Like, it's the actual opposite of being toxic, because everything about a man is about, like, giving and nurturing and taking care of and providing for, like, making sure people are good. That's what men do. Men make sure everybody good. Make sure everybody's straight. Make sure everybody don't fuck with his shit. And everybody in his presence respect, show respect, and act accordingly. At least that was always my view of manhood. So when you brought toxicity into it, I don't like it, because it does inflate a narrative of, something's wrong. Something's wrong with masculinity inherently.
To me, it's not inherently masculine or feminine, because it's a lot of... Toxicity is just its own kind of entity. Like, it's just... a characteristic trait of a person.
That's of a person. That's not of a... And I feel like...
It's not indicative to...
A sex.
Sex. Because there's some bitches that is crazy, and there's some niggas that is hard-headed as a motherfucker, too.
They just kind of find a simpler way to describe it. But when it comes to men, I feel like... Don't get me wrong.
And then I think it's culturally, too.
Latinos,
the machismo type of thing.
You had the 80s, started. Right? You had Rocky. And we about to get into Creed 3 next week. I'm going to see Creed 3. So you got the Macho Man back in the day. You had, like, Sylvester Stallone, Schwarzenegger. You had Mr. T. You had these masculine macho men, Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan. You had these macho, Booker T, these macho men from back in the day. And then the standard superhero became Will Smith. Macho Man became Will Smith. And he became a less swole version of what we got in the 80s. Everybody got slimmed down.
WWE kind of brought that macho-nism back into it.
Well, I think that became...
John Cena, Stone Cold.
That became so niche. Like,
all of that, like, all that Rambo type of stuff was...
You always had instances of it, but... At a certain point, The Rock bought The Rock brought that macho sense of hero, not heroes, that macho sense of men in Hollywood back in the physical sense. But every man ain't got to be like super super brawly macho and swole to be a man. And I feel like it's so many different types of man, but you got so many people that you don't, whose opinions you don't care about, who are defining it, that you somehow decide to now care about their opinions when you just want to make that shit about you and your inadequacies. So, alright, so speaking of which, Jonathan Majors,
this cover,
he did a cover for Ebony. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Ebony, they said he was emasculated because he
got on pink.
He got on pink. And I mean, let me tell you the truth about this, bruh. So the person who styled him was named Alexander Julian. Yeah. And Alexander Julian styled him for this. You know what he modeled this after? This is some anime shit. Yeah, this is One Piece.
This big swole ass nigga from One Piece.
Yes, Don Flamingo from One Piece. Like, the whole inspiration was Doflamingo from One Piece. Like, literally, you can see it. And it was just, bruh, it's literally, that's what he wanted to do. He didn't pick that out, but he wore it. He put it on. He struck the poses. And see, to me, that was the whole thing. It's just like, bruh, that was like, you know how many black nerds or nerds in general that are fans of One Piece that saw this shit and geeked the fuck out?
Yeah. That's what everybody was talking about until they got to emasculating. I'm like, bro, that nigga big as a motherfucker.
That nigga kick your ass. You seen how he handled that, man, bro? Like, that nigga will kick your ass, bro. Like, Jonathan Majors will beat your ass. You will not say none of that shit to his face that you popping online. So please,
Karl Malone.
So cut that shit out. Karl Malone is a different conversation. Karl Malone.
Not saying that shit to Karl Malone face either.
I mean, because he tall as fuck.
Yes. Cause he big as fuck too. Like, he that nigga 60 and still fucking brawling as shit. You seen that nigga at the All-Star game?
Mm-mm.
You know he's a judge out there. That's how all this, that other shit. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. But nah, man, shout out to Jonathan Majors. Shout out to A$AP Rocky. Shout out to Rihanna, man. But I don't get the backlash, like, at all, bro. That shit a whole reach. Like, all this shit is a whole fucking reach. Like, bro, I'm tired of, like, the red pill niggas and they fucking takes on masculinity, bro. I'm just like, bro, get off of y'all phones, and y'all need to do some self-work. All y'all niggas need therapy. All y'all niggas need to go to fucking therapy.
I just want them
and
to
get off the internet.
Nigga face, bro.
I mean,
nigga face, black nigga, you emasculated.
You a bitch. Just walk up to the nigga and you a bitch, nigga. And see,
fresh
if you don't
fresh off of Creed 3, nigga.
Fresh off of Creed 3. Just walk him in his fucking face and call a nigga. Like, I want this nigga to swing on you. Like, and that's the problem. Niggas be popping online, but they ain't gonna get nobody face to get the shit smacked out of. Like, it ain't enough niggas getting the shit smacked out of them. That's the problem. That's the problem with masculinity, honestly. It's niggas so masculine, they got enough respect for themselves and their livelihoods.
Say their shit on the internet.
Say, no, to, like,
and not be in public when they,
bruh, because I was just, no, the masculine thing is niggas is literally turning the other cheek, not sweating that shit. But if you got the wrong one, nigga will hit you in your face.
Yeah, I mean, it goes up there with the it's a prank, niggas. It's a prank, it's a prank, it's a prank. Like
your boy, hey boy, you mind passing me that?
The white Dolomite, yeah. Right.
Hey boy.
Yeah, fuck him, bro. I wish you would.
I really find those videos funny, though. I ain't gonna even lie. I watch them and I laugh because I'm just like,
I've seen the compilation when people be fucking them up, though. Like, that buddy who fucking football tackled his ass.
That's like, the one I sent you. Like, yeah.
Yeah, bro. That's a nice form right there. Boom! The one when Boosie people punched the nigga in the face. They called the police and pressed charges on the dude that punched him in the face. Like, nigga, you were the one that got yourself involved in that shit. You were the one to put yourself in this whole situation right here, thinking this shit is funny and a prank. Keep fucking with the right one.
Fuck around. Find out.
You're going to fuck around and find out.
Fuck around and find out. But what we got here, man, Adam Silver unveils the future of NBA streaming.
Mod Rashad, please come out.
Right,
all right, man.
Yeah. All right. They got the commissioner, Adam Silver. He got some guy. I don't really know who he is. But Adam Silver is going to get the guy to just stand still. He's going to scan his whole body. He's going to take a 360 scan, walk around his body.
All right.
And
so now,
what you'll be able to do in the NBA app you just from body, there, right? And he's showing the screen on how he's wearing the whole body.
Is that the one you're going to wear in the morning?
You'll be able to take a person
we're in Utah
and put them into NBA highlights. You used to wear a suit.
So did the Vikings.
Like, and whatever they got on. Right. Like,
it's almost over. All right, hang in there. I got to step back just to get your full body.
Keep on.
But you'll be able to...
I'm almost done.
You know, you'll be able to put these things and you'll be able to put whoever, you know, your kids, yourself, into
that'll be the end of it.
Live NBA fucking highlights that they have in their app.
All right.
And that's just, to me, it's just kind of interesting. It'll bring in more of a of a user interaction.
Let's look at this.
The NBA has been trying to make a concerted effort to kind of get into the metaverse and get into the augmented reality and the virtual reality realm.
Now, if we're at, menu's going to come back up.
And I think that this is going to be, this is what they're showing it now. Like they,
and then, see where the red that's going, you could choose different players.
Yeah. You take yourself, you can pick whoever's on the court.
Where that, where Horton Tucker is,
and from there, you just put yourself in the fucking clip.
Into the game, you'll be making all the same movements he was, but it'll look like it's your body.
Does he have my skills?
We'll see.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
All right, so go ahead and roll that.
I'm gonna put him in the clip in his fucking clothes.
There's that shirt.
The nigga is in the fucking game, in the highlight, bro. Yep. If you think you're not finna start seeing this shit everywhere. If you think you're not about to start seeing this shit everywhere, you are fucking crazy.
Where do you get the idea to stick your
AI,
like
that augmented reality type shit is really
lifting.
It's probably gonna take some leaps and bounds in the next fucking 2 or 3 years, right, man. You're gonna really have to question what the fuck you were actually observing. Is it credible and is it real? Because you know how I'd be sending you them random Joe Biden clips and he'd be doing like the Chief Keef rap or, you know, I'm smoking on
some,
the best
some
bud.
Of them sound like him, but then I seen some, I'm just like, bro, that don't sound like this nigga at all. Like, it ain't even the voice. Like, what the fuck?
But, you know, pretty soon, man, you're gonna have... They're going to have to come up with some kind of way to be like, hey, this is 100% the real thing. Like, they're going to be able to fool and dupe all kind of people. It's gonna be like this. It's gonna be fucking interesting.
All right, what's up?
Y'all the way caught up on Wu-Tang?
Yes, I am caught up on Wu-Tang. I'm caught up on all of the winter shows so far, like that I'm watching. All right, so we finna get into some Wu-Tang.
Oh yeah,
finna get into some Wu-Tang. What you said?
Yeah.
All right. Funny against some Wu-Tang. All right. If you're not caught up on the final season of season 3 of Wu-Tang, an American Saga, we're about to spoil it. So, first 4 episodes are out, currently streaming on Hulu. New episodes release every Wednesday on Hulu. All right. Well, we left off last week. We had the Blaxploitation episode of, Old Dirty Bastard when he was reenacting the first video he had did for Ooh Baby I Like It Raw. Ooh Baby I Like It Raw. I went back and listened to that album after that episode just because I wanted to remember that album. And it was just like, bro, that was a comedy rap album. I don't care what none of y'all say, bro. That shit was full of so much originality and so much imagination and so much energy. Like, that shit was all over the place. Like, ODB was a whole character. And I think that's pretty much what people loved about him, because he was a character.
Yeah. The season starts off there at the house out there. I think it's in New Jersey's. That's where their house in the woods was.
Yeah, in the woods.
And it's RZA trying to... I don't really know what he's trying to do. He's trying to get his mind right. He's trying to meet deadlines. He's pushing deadlines back. At that particular time, he's not talking to ODB. They're still on the outskirts. And Ray and Ghost are starting to gel a little bit more, trying to work on the purple tape and Method Man's album is already out.
Yeah, Method Man's platinum.
Yeah. No, he was approaching platinum.
No, he's double platinum now. Are you talking about beginning of the season? Yeah,
the beginning, they were going to do the You're All I Need remix.
With Puffy.
Yeah.
And that's the one I like.
And that was crazy. I didn't know there was a remix.
Oh, you didn't?
Nah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know the song.
When the video used to come on BET, they used to put remix, like, on the side of it.
I just never fucking...
Because when I heard the original on Takal, I was just like, oh, but I'm glad they did this remix.
I've never heard Takal. I'm not a Method Man fan. Mm. But I want to go back and listen to Takal now.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Method Man was the first solo member. He was the first star of Wu-Tang. Like, literally, like, M-E-T-H-O-D. Man. Like, him having his own song on there was, like, when they did the hip-hop honors at the Grammys. Like, that's the one song he did to represent Wu-Tang. They ain't bring nobody else out to do Triumph for Stop Rush. Too many of y'all niggas. But Method Man finna hold it down for all y'all. But I will...
Because technically, would he be the biggest artist they had? Method Man, I mean, was pretty big.
Well, okay. Method Man, when he first came out, like, solo, that Mary J. Blige song put him over the top.
Yeah.
That was the song that went bang. He won a Grammy for that song. Yeah. And I know they're going to show the episode and it go to the Grammy.
See, they already kind of alluded to it, too, when Sean was out there in the Versace. Y'all, I think we're going to get a Grammy for that one.
Yeah, and they did. They will. That's like, as far as, like, Wu-Tang goes, like, you know, RZA got Grammys, but...
Method Man is...
Yeah, he got a Grammy, bro, like, for that. So, that put him over the top. Now, after that, I'm not gonna lie to you, it's not so much that Method Man kind of drifted away from the spotlight, but the group came back and reformed.
Yeah,
like
with Triumph, right?
When they did the Wu-Tang Forever, when they did the second album, because that's leading up to this. Like, they got hot. Everybody went and did some of their second shit, and then a new album came out. So You God and Master Killer and, you know, a couple of other guys ain't put out no albums yet. Expect the debt. Like, they're not putting out albums because it's like, all right, so he got his. Yeah,
Sakara got his. ODB deadline is approaching. And Raekwon.
Hey, ODB's is out. When we get to episode 4, his album's already out.
Yeah, by that time it's out.
They're working on Only Built for Cuban Links, which is gonna be, you know, because that came out before Iron Man. Iron Man didn't come out in 96.
Yeah.
But it was a staple in hip hop because Ghostface shook up the whole hip hop world, and they gonna get into it. He got, when he accused Biggie Smalls of biting Nas on his album Shark cover. Fighters. You know, for his cover, he was just like, niggas biting Nas shit, like niggas biting flows, like, you know, like he really came and Big took that shit personal. And then cause Kicking the Door was supposed to be about Nas.
Yeah.
You know, Big was like, nah, Kicking the Door was about Nas, bro. Like, these niggas just had competition. They didn't have no beef, it was just competition.
Yeah.
But Nas was on Only Beautiful for Cuban Links.
Yeah.
And it was the problem.
And that fucking verse from Nas on Only Built for Cuban Links is one of my favorite fucking Nas verses ever.
I mean, it's like that whole album became a steeple in hip hop because that album didn't go platinum, it went gold.
Yeah.
But hip hop wise, it became like.
But it went platinum triple, double times in the streets.
Like,
because they were bootlegging the fuck out of that shit.
That was like the most hip hop album. It was like that mafioso. Yeah. Like, that.
And they talked about that too, bringing that. That,
from the movies and
like, bringing that bravado and bringing that cutting in fucking clips of movies into their shits. Like, people were sampling, but them niggas was playing it.
Bro, I mean, no, when they were talking about Scarface and it was like, really, like, we're gonna make up a story and we're gonna put it in here and we're gonna, like, that was the first time that's really been done.
Yeah.
And everybody got a chance to see it. So hopefully the series will get us there. So.
It's not the episode coming up, but the one after that is going to be another episode. The one after that is going to be Only Built for Cuban Links, but it's going to be in the same type of manner that
the ODB one was in.
ODB was in. They're going to do it through cinematic movies.
Yeah, because I know they're going to have to do the fallout when the other guys who weren't able to get their albums out, the frustration that came with Inspector Deck
and You God.
You God.
That's what's supposed to be happening next week.
And then Master, you know, it's just like, my favorite thing from this past episode was when they got on a tour bus.
They're on tour.
When they on tour, because you got to get them inside conversations when they just like, Bruh,
splitting this cake. How many niggas is in the Wu-Tang? How are we splitting this money?
How are we splitting it? Like, why is he getting a cut? And then, you know, they broke it down. Just like, well, you got more verse. Are we doing it by verses? He's on one song.
I'm on every song.
I'm on every song, bro. So I should be getting more.
Is it a tier system?
Is it a tier system? Because if the tier system, if Method Man, the hottest ones, and him and ODB, then they deserve to get the biggest cuts. But then just is like, hey, I had an album out before y'all niggas even had a group. So if that's the case, you know, are you saying I deserve this? And I feel like...
And Liquid Swords, not the album he was talking about, but Liquid Swords is another album that is a staple in hip-hop.
Yeah, that ain't... Yeah, but... Man, just, it was so much friction. And then, you know, like Ghost being like, man, you know, how he out here making this side money, we ain't getting no cake. You just like, bro, like, I'm...
This ain't got nothing to do with y'all.
Nothing to do with y'all, bro. This me.
What I need to do, because he's threatening to not... To have y'all not perform if he don't get something extra, and he not splitting the extra with you, but you know,
nigga, like I gotta eat too. Like, bro, I don't have an album to get residuals, bro.
But you still a manager, nigga. You still get a percentage.
They get a percent. You
have to, like,
but and it's funny. The funny thing about, I can't even say it was greed, because everybody else was just like, yeah, nigga, that's the game. Like, what you? That's just the hustle. Like, it's no different from. You know, you selling your own individual merch. If Method Man would have had the wherewithal to just sell some individual Method Man shit, he could have sold some Method Man shit. Method Man literally at that point could have just been like
whatever he wanted to.
Whatever he wanted. He's like, bro, I got a single right now, bro. I can literally get here.
But how I'm familiar with Method Man, I do know, you know, the one with Mary J. Blige, everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
But I know him from acting. I knew he was a rapper, but then he got with Red Man. And that's kind of where I picked up in my life, where I picked him up at around the high.
And that was like 7-8 years later. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit was like, damn.
Again, I'm younger and I didn't like New York hip hop. I didn't like the boom. Like, culturally, it just didn't vibe with me like that. I didn't really fuck with Wu-Tang until they started doing songs, until Raekwon did the song with Outkast.
That was in 98, bro. So, I mean.
I know. That's when I started fucking with them.
That means you were fucking with them in 98, nigga. I didn't start fucking with Wu-Tang until 2000, bro. I didn't start fucking with Wu-Tang until Triumph came out. Yeah. Bro, first time I heard 36 Chambers, I was in my mid-20s. Like,
I didn't get that album until I got older. I'm just saying, okay, I remember the names of these people. The very first Wu-Tang album I ever got was Fish Scale.
That was almost 06.
04, 05. I was going to school. Yeah, the first one I ever got was Fish Scale.
No, I'm just laying out a little timeline, you know, as pertains to, like...
I never bought none of the albums before then.
But, my one of my best friends, his brother had Iron Flag, and he had Wu-Tang Forever. So that's how I heard it, because I went over his house and he had the CD and I listened to it. That's the same way I heard Nas. It's the same way I heard a lot of stuff, because it was a lot of stuff going around. But anyway, they're on the bus just not beefing, but they're having a dispute. And they're really trying to outline how the money's being made, who's making the money,
the bus driver,
how much they got to split. I mean, fuck that nigga, because that nigga couldn't, that shit, like this nigga don't eat pork, bro. If I don't eat pork,
why you cooking pork on my,
because now I got to throw the whole foreman out, bro. Like, you can't be cooking on my shit, bro. Like, you ain't ass, don't be doing that. And then he's supposed to be
butt naked, bro.
And then he living in the bus,
keeping the money from the hotel.
Because that's why they was just like, hey, yo, don't use the bathroom, bro. Because
the bus,
that shit gets started up and stink. It wasn't like buses now where you can do it and flush, you'll be fine. But back then, I imagine that tank for that toilet wasn't that big.
That shit gonna sit under that bus.
Yeah, they were like, you can piss in it, but don't shit in it.
Yeah.
You know, but it was just so much that happened. And even from, you know, old buddy hiring dude was like, hey.
Oh. I want to go back a little bit when ODB and Raekwon, not Raekwon, ODB and RZA was beefing, and ODB was on a bender through the fucking town.
Yeah.
Like, that's some shit, like, I remember reading about, like, him waking up in strip clubs, like, being a wild ass nigga. I remember, like, reading Vibe Source. It was some kind of hip hop type of shit that would talk about how crazy ODB was. So seeing all, and it talked about how he ended up in the hospital. running from the fucking police, you know, and for them to kind of put that whole scenario out, the nigga was on a bender trying to get a fucking a dub, a coke, and taking out running from the fucking police and shit, then get away from them, find the dog, and then jump out a fucking window, almost kill himself, then get in Cherie's car, steal her shit, leave her at the fucking hospital. Like, bro, ODB was on some shit. And they were trying to, they didn't have time to push back. They had to meet with the majors for ODB's record. So RZA and his brother went there and they was playing the beats and all that stuff. Like, oh man, you know, these beats are good. This is, you know, we don't doubt your beats, but we need to hear it. Then the door kicks in, boom, you know, ODB on his spontaneous shit. He was a hell of a performer. And I think the thing that I like the best about the Wu-Tang so far this season is ODB. Like, the first season I liked the story about Raekwon and Ghost. This season I'm really liking the ODB story, and I love the, you know, it's actually portrayed by his son.
Yeah,
you know, so I love that. I feel like he goes the extra mile to really hone what he does. David East as Method Man I think is cool. I just don't,
I mean,
it's cool. It's just cool. I like these actors. I like everybody. I like Inspector Deck too. Like, I like how they're telling the story. I like how the RZA's accent isn't as pronounced as it was, or maybe I just don't got used to it. I like this. And then like how at the end of it, you know, you got a page 911. Your son's been shot. He get out the tour bus and he takes Ghostface guns. We know it's about to happen to him. Because he's going to get locked up. So we know it's about to happen. You know, we know it's about to happen with that. And then, like I said, the next episode is supposed to talk about what happened to You God and Master Killer. And then after that, they're going to do the cinematic thing with Only Built for Cuban Links, which I am really interested to see. I want to go ahead and look up who's going to do it, because I know Mario Van Peebles did the ODB episode. I want to know if he's going to do it again for Only Built for Cuban Links. I like how they switch around the directors in there. They're really good at telling this story. And I feel like, you know, the Wu-Tang story has been told 100 times in the past 5 years. It's been, I don't know how many fucking Wu-Tang documentaries, even with the members of Wu-Tang themselves. So, you know, nothing in this thing is a mystery. You know, it's just really good how they're doing this. And I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, man. Yeah, it was, like I said, what I want to get from this Wu-Tang season, because so far so good. Like, I like it. I'm ready to see the Purple Tape come together. I don't want to, like, see, I don't want to re-grieve or relive ODB's passing, but I kind of feel like that shit affected an important part of the Wu-Tang legacy that it. I feel like it'll be a disservice if they don't address it.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of anxious to see how they're going to address that. I want to see the Source Award moment, Wu-Tang for the Children at the Grammys. I want to see, like, all that shit. Like, I really
want to see Ghost with the fucking golden falcon on.
Well, yeah, at the end, I think by the end, maybe they'll really fast forward and kind of show, like, some of the things that happened to everybody. Like, how, you know, everybody got set up for, like, success. And
yeah.
The road they took to get there, because they dropped a lot of knowledge. Like, even with the Wu-Tang manual, a lot of the stuff, since I read that, they talk about it on the show. Have you cracked into that Wu-Tang book you have for Christmas?
No, not yet.
Gotcha.
Not yet. I'm actually, I'm finishing up something else, but it's in my bathroom, so that's why I do a lot of my reading.
Ew.
Also, what I like in this, too, what they're showing, WuWare.
Yeah.
WuWare was a big-ass street brand, and they were right. Like, you had Karl Kanai. At the time, what was it? Karl Kanai was the first black line. There was two other ones. I can't really remember the names, but then they had, like, you know, Tommy Hilfiger and, you know, Ralph Lauren, of course, but rappers making their own merch and going into that vein, That is so fucking important. Because, you know, the guy, and I hate that I forget his name, the guy who was doing the line, Raekwon's homeboy. Wisdom Ice, some shit. But he was the guy that came up with the vision for WooWare.
That Grant.
And you can see that RZA's brother, he could see the vision. He kind of was like, okay, you can do your own thing. We really ain't got the money for it. But he knew he's kind of a street cat and he can kind of put these things together. But what really made it all click was when they went on the road and they seen the girls in the WooWare shit.
Yeah.
And they, you know, there was bootlegging the shit, which is a big thing definitely back then. It's not as prevalent now, but back then, the reason why the Purple Tape probably didn't sell as many units is because everybody bootlegged that shit. It was blue tapes, it was green tapes, it was yellow tapes, it was red tapes, it was all versions of that motherfucker.
In order to combat the bootlegging, like, that's why they made the tape purple. Like, it landed on being purple.
Yeah, because it came out, it was originally just a regular tape.
The story that I got was that's the only color that they had left. It wasn't like they went in and said, we're going to combine with the red tops and the blue tops. And it just was like, oh, God, the red tops and the blue tops is meant to be. We got to go with the purple, son. It was like that. Like, niggas just had an epiphany. But the purple was all they had left, and it was like a sign. And niggas was just like, bruh, the purple tape. But it's always been remembered as the purple tape.
Not only
because it was literal purple.
And for the longest, nigga, I thought that was Ghostface's album.
It was just, that's how they wanted to do it. Like, co-starring, featuring Ghostface Killah.
I thought that was Ghostface. I was like, nah, nigga, Ghostface's first album was Iron Man. And I was like, nah, nigga, Ghostface's first album was fucking Fish Scale.
It was Iron Man featuring Raekwon the Chef. Like, yeah. they both.
Yeah, because they was both in the keys on the cover.
Mm-hmm. They both.
Big-ass expensive robes.
Yeah, but you know, just the way they sliced it. Like, you put an album out and you keep the chunk, like, you keep half of your album, right? You keep half of the money that your album makes. A quarter
goes to the group.
A quarter goes to the group to split nine ways, and the other quarter goes to management. And I feel like that's not a bad way.
It's not in
the run in every hindsight, damn thing. Like,
I know, well, not even I know. I mean, they talked about it. In hindsight, they just didn't know. And you also got to realize, too, I never heard of RZA's brother up until they wanted us to know about him.
Mm. I seen him in documentaries.
The documentaries, what showed him. Like, you remember the documentary they had, all the real Wu-Tang? And it's like, we never showed this nigga before because we didn't want nobody to know about this nigga. And this nigga step off a boat. It's like, who is this nigga? And you know, I've heard them mention him, but, bro, he was wise beyond his years, man. He really set them up.
That spook who sat by the door episode really kind of opened up the whole thing.
And then it showed where he was like, hey, RZA, you will need to be on an artist bus. You don't need to be on a management bus because artists hate their managers. If they're going to hate somebody, let them hate me. You already got enough. You got your hand in everybody's fucking pot as it is. The buck really, even though you're the artist, the buck fucking stops with you because you make the final decisions on all of these people's shit. Even with Method Man shit, it was like, man, shit, let somebody else do that shit. They were begging him
to do a remix.
And he's like, all right, nah, I ain't got time. Like,
best shit ever, bro. Yeah. Like, that was destiny, bro.
Yeah. And then him having the vision to get the Wu-Tang building downtown in the middle of everybody else.
Before everybody else had buildings.
Def Jam was right here. Then it turned out Bad Boys right across the street.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Epic was right down here. Like, that shit is genius as fuck. And, you know, the saying, you know, you can't see the forest for the trees. That man definitely saw the fucking forest.
Yeah.
He definitely saw the forest. And I felt like he wasn't malicious in what he did. I felt like he wasn't trying to fuck people. Everybody was trying to get money. They was trying to get money the best way they knew and the best way that they could. And even though they made bukus of fucking money, Migos probably got a better record deal, made more money on a record deal than they did because it's 20 years later.
30 years later.
Even more. You know, that's like I had an argument with a friend of mine. We were talking about record deals. Newer artists should get better deals than niggas did in the
90s. Yeah, it's a different structure. Independence is, bro, we just gonna put your shit out for a cut. Yeah. We ain't gonna make no major decisions. You can't really come to us for no big loans.
Not doing no marketing.
We ain't doing none of that extra shit.
Give you got your shit out there.
We're gonna give you a big ass lump sum check, and we expect to make good on our investment. But as a major distribution deal, that's like, bro, we gonna like RZA set it up for him. RZA literally just told him. He didn't tell him because the problem with labels. Before I even get on this, it's kind of like how the government. Like, I don't want to make this political take, but Democrats will throw money at an issue, right? Problem with Democrats throwing money at issues is the logistics, the everything that's involved from it.
Democrats and husbands.
Everything that's involved from the moment it's signed into law to the moment it reaches the person's hands. It's so much red tape, bureaucracy, and middle people involved. The money just gets spent and wasted. Yeah. Like, when you're trying to get something built or get something done, like, a good example I saw on Bill Maher, they were talking about, they were just like, yeah, man, somebody wants to build a fucking bridge. And... you know, architects got to take this, and then the person who's in charge of the architects, and then another person who looks at it that has to do this, and it's so many people who put their finger in the pot to get a piece of the money. That's why it takes $1 trillion to. That's why it takes $1 billion to build something that literally you could build for $30 million. $30 million put you up to $1 billion because everybody got their hands in it.
Yeah.
Record labels can work the same way in a lot of hands, but RZA was literally putting that shit like, this is Method Man. This is all you gotta do with Method Man. Like, this is all you gotta do with him. This is all you gotta do with him.
OD, because he already had their shit packaged.
Yeah, ODB was like, all you gotta do is cut the camera on, bro. This nigga is literally, you ain't gotta do no marketing. Just cut the camera on. Literally, just cut the camera on.
Because I remember his food stamp card. I remember him being on MTV. Mm-hmm. I remember that as a child. I remember him pulling out his food stamp card in a limo. On MTV.
I got a limo. Went to the food stamp, got food stamp.
Bought some shit, yeah.
Out of limo.
Yeah.
Got food stamps in a limo. You know why? Because, like, just the way everything was set up. And it's crazy, bro, because when you splitting that money nine ways and these niggas ain't got solo deals, these niggas only making tour money and they just getting, like, you might get, like, a $8,000 check. And you like, bro, this ain't no real money. Once these niggas start seeing millions, they realize, bro, this ain't no million. So that's where the resentment came in. Resentment came in is when my album, when Method put an album out.
It went double platinum.
And they go double platinum. We getting these big ass checks. But when your album put a platinum out and that shit go triple fucking wood, nigga, we ain't getting nothing. But when my album come out and I go fucking platinum, now I gotta give you a quarter of your shit. But it's not with your album. You eat off more of my album than I'm eating off your album, and I don't think that's fair.
Yeah.
So when niggas start saying that, RZA's just like, hey, man, take your ego out of it, back the fuck up, because, you know, we just...
Because at the end of the day, nigga, y'all all still own your fucking masters.
Yeah, that was the whole idea. It was just like, bro, chill.
Y'all own your own shit, and we're setting your shit up for the fucking future.
Yeah.
If ODB would have went to Def Jam, he would not have been able to have his fucking masters.
So let me ask you, let's circle back, before we close this segment out, what would you have done if you were RZA?
If I was RZA, I would
ODB your cousin.
I would have talked to him. I would have talked to him before I made that decision. But I would have told him, ultimately, I'm making this decision for you if I have to. But this is why.
But you know that somebody you can't tell him that didn't make that same decision.
But that's what we're going with. But I'm going to tell you before you find out. You know, like how he fucking found out. But like, but. He's saving him from himself. Yeah, he ain't a little boy, da-da-da-da-da. But, nigga, you see what the nigga
did? I put it to you like this. Knowing what I know now, I would have just did Def Jam.
Then what money would his kids have? Because he would have blown, because he blew through a shitload of money. His kids is eating now
because
of his deal.
Because I got to... Because I personally feel as though,
I was going to ask you, weigh this in too. Do you also think that if he went to fucking Def Jam, do you think that...
You're going to answer my point for me. I don't feel he would have spiraled out the way he did had he went to Def Jam first. There's no way of knowing that, but I just kind of feel like he wouldn't have spiraled out, maybe, if he would have got Def Jam, because that's what he wanted. Eventually, he landed on Def Jam, so eventually...
Wasn't the ghetto superstar?
Yes, that was Def Jam. So he eventually got the Def Jam because he fucked up his Elektra contract. So I feel like them guaranteeing he got his returns. RZA did the right thing. The Elektra deal, not talking to him because he would have tried to talk you out of it. I feel like, yeah, you were like, sometimes you do the right thing the wrong way. And I feel like that's what he did. Just
paved the road to hell.
Yeah, and I feel like that's exactly what happened.
I think what he should have did was present it to him like this. Listen, cuz, do this album, do two albums here, then go to Def Jam. Your first album is going to be a cult classic.
I ain't know that. Ain't know none of that shit.
You don't, but
Elektra had Busta Rhymes.
Yeah.
Like, Elektra didn't.
I like how they show Busta Rhymes at the party.
Yeah. Elektra didn't really have. Damn,
that's all they. No, they.
But they had Flip Mode Squad, bro. They had
Busta Rhymes.
Like, think about it, bro. Like, Elektra didn't have no big hip hop footprint. Yeah. So, them trying to get some piece of the hip hop market. Like, you, that's why they were so willing to do so much. Cause Def Jam.
That's why Busta Rhymes had them big ass extravagant
videos. Yeah. That's why he was able to get $1 million video for, you know, the Janet Jackson. Now his videos, because Elektra was really spending big money on Busta Rhymes, because I would say flagship hip hop artist. Because
Pete Rock and CL Smooth, they staples, but I mean, they
and eventually, New York. But eventually, Elektra stopped caring about hip hop, and all them niggas went to Def Jam or Warner. But you know, all of them left. Like eventually, Elektra, they ain't fold, but you know, like ODB,
Elektra became 300.
But that was, they ain't come 300 to
like 10 years ago.
Like within the past 5 years.
Yeah. But they got a big ass, like you was talking about, they got a big catalog of rock and roll and R&B. Rap wasn't their forte.
Yeah, because in 2004, Warner Music. Called
up Elektra.
Well, they got sold by Time Warner. And all this shit happened. Atlantic Records ended up like getting it, but they kind of combined.
Warner's just a hoe.
But, like, remember, like, just not to get into labels, but remember when Atlantic, not Atlantic, remember LaFace turned to Zumba?
Mm-mm.
Remember? Go look on the back of Confessions. That shit will say Zumba Music Group. Mm-hmm. Sony. It's a Sony company. RCA and Jive. Because Jive got absolved. Jive turned. Because think about it. Like, Jive. Outkast was originally on
LaFace.
But LaFace.
Arista.
But eventually that shit became Jive Records. Yeah. Which was a subsidiary of RCA.
And then by the time they got there, they just came out with Equimini.
And then they combined them. Like, they combined. Because I used to watch music videos and look at all of this shit. So yeah. Epic Records, RCA. They all
Epic was. Epic Records, L.A. Reid.
But, yeah, man, it's you know, I'm not here getting this stuff.
I don't know if Epic is still L.A. Reid now, though. I think he might have left, but Epic Records was L.A. Reid.
Nah, they say So-So Def is the only label still left on that label.
On what label?
Zumba.
Hmm. What?
Mm-hmm. Say they So-So Def been with Columbia, been with Arista, been with Virgin, Def Jam. Now they with Epic, which is, you know. Yeah. But all of this shit come full circle. But that's because I know music industry shit. But shout out to Wu-Tang. Y'all need to watch this series. This series is really good. It's really informative. It's entertaining as fuck. Yeah. It's one of the best things on TV right now. Yeah. Medak. Pop on BMF.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man.
I wish you could trust me, love.
Bruh. He nigga dead as hell, boy. Yo, I'm talking about that bitch put
hey, look,
on
man.
Him, bruh. She look, put it on man. This nigga, bruh.
That nigga who acts for Charles, bruh, that nigga's a good actor.
Yeah.
The rest of these niggas that are in this movie, for the most part, are pretty terrible at their job outside of the cop. But I'm enjoying seeing, you know, Lil Meech grow up on camera and stuff, but every week, we talking about what this nigga doing, bro, because he just make you hate him, because...
Who?
The dad, Charles.
I like him now. I couldn't stand that nigga when he thought he was better than everybody, and he was a stick in the mud. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't stand him when he was like that, but, like, But once he, but when, well,
turn him out.
But once he kind of approached this, he made him relatable because he did that shit that, you know, I hear niggas talk about in older age when they were just like, bro, I'm trying to get my wife in the mood and she ain't in the mood. And that nigga ain't in the mood. And I was just like, damn, that gotta suck. You know what I'm saying? That's the what I can't relate. But in that situation, I see that shit and be like, damn, that shit gotta suck. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, that's rough. Like, and this nigga really tried. And the one time she did, it was just, it wasn't even about the sex. It was about just she was just trying to manipulate this nigga on some shit. And I was like, yo, bro, I feel you on that. Like, your wife tripping. Then she done checked the lady for no reason. She doing too much. She paranoid. She act like she don't trust you. She find your playboys. Telling Snoop was out of fucking pocket. I don't give a fuck, bro. Like, Snoop was like, yo, hey, man, I'm here to help. I like him as that preacher, though. I like Snoop playing the preacher.
You gonna make the east side come up out of me.
Because he more or less kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I ain't going to drift away from my shtick. But, hey, bro, hold on. All jokes aside, like, I like him. But, nah. That nigga dirty nigga, though. When that girl put it on him, and he went back. When the nigga went back. Because, you know, he was 2 seconds. No, he was 2 seconds on the first time. But when this nigga went back, I was like,
you were naked on the couch. Like, oh, nigga, you nasty. You naked?
That's when I was like, I fuck with you now, bro. Like, that's the moment like, I forgave him. For, like, I ain't liked him the entire series so far. He was humanized in that moment when he just went back and he was like, oh, you don't even give a fuck now. Like, and the fact that this is in the story, that means that eventually you get caught. So, like, this is seen through Terry's eyes. So Terry know what the fuck you doing. Oh yeah, the whole time we got this whole whoop de whoop situation going on with the dope. Dad, she know mama with some dark skin bill from church. Yeah. Damn.
I mean, because his brother told him. And then Meech seen him in the club. What am I supposed to do with this?
Bruh. Like, that's a good series so far, man. I really, BMF, this season been cool. Lala, you know,
Tweet.
Just popped up in it. I like Lala. Last, before we get out of here, let me make some of this.
Hey, 50 be killing. He killed them intro songs, and he killed them outro songs, too. He had a song, put cocaine on a nigga, put Jane on a nigga. I want to say it's called I'm the Man with Trey Songz. Hold on, bro. Like, because he actually came out with a fucking a power mixtape. Because everybody was going crazy for the songs on his outro.
And 50 Cent went to the Dr. Dre school of hit making, bro. Like,
this shit,
bro.
This is a Sonny Digital track, too.
You can't slip on 50.
But he played this shit on an intro. I mean, no, on an outro. It's like one of the episodes that had crazy ratings that day. Like, it was like maybe a season finale. Bro, he played this shit. And he was like, yo, this is a hard-ass song to fucking go out. That shit, that song blew up. He made a whole mixtape series off of that power. It was like the power mixtapes. It's like, what, 50? Like you said, 50 know how to make a hit, man. He know how to make some shit. I'm anxious to see what's the next thing, because They're renewing BMF, but this next season of Power is going to be the last one on Starz, ain't it? Then he going somewhere else?
Don't ask me. I have no clue what.
I think his Power deal is up, if I'm not mistaken. But last but not least, man, we got fucking John Singleton's magnum opus, I would think. Nah, I think his movies would probably be his magnum opus. Snowfall.
I think Snowfall is John Singleton's. I think if you consider this to be amongst his greatest legacy, I could not dispute you on that. Like,
the reason why I don't want to put it there, I will put the first few seasons in, but I don't know. Oh, we're gonna let this thing shape out. I feel like they had two. Was it two episodes that came out or just one?
Two.
Okay, yeah, it was two. Okay, I did watch both of them there. But she's killing it. She killing it. She is fucking killing it. I think they're about to address a lot of the issues that I had with the previous season, which was you have too many fucking characters who just popped up out of fucking nowhere, and you're giving them too much screen time.
I mean, I like the fact that they keep circling back to people we forgot about, like the exchange with shit going down with Louis and the shit with Jerome, like all that shit coming into a head. And it's like, it's really intense to see Franklin, like me feel like Franklin had to do what he did because, I mean, Louis, he got clean. You kind of was like, but now Franklin is just business, and he's just like,
okay,
he took everything from me, Louie. Like, don't just leave me hanging. And she just like, it's business. It's not personal. And the thing is like, when he was like, all right, bet, and he just went and took it back. Like, he didn't put her on. Like, they kind of fed each other. So I felt like what Franklin did was fair. And the game that they doing, to the extent that they both came, I felt like what Franklin did was fair. You know, I felt like anytime that shit got...
Franklin put them in the position that they are in, and I think that they kind of forget that.
But at the same time, because of who Louis know, that with that lady in that shop that put him on risk, and he ended up losing the first bird so much so that he had to fight nigga and kill nigga to get that first one back just so he could really build his shit up. But if it weren't for Louis, he wouldn't have went and fucked with that lady, and he wouldn't have got fucked over. But because Louis was fucking that lady, he had her ear sometimes. So when it came down to business, ultimately he was using Louis. And so when Louis empowered herself to get in a position to kind of do her own shit, her problem was look, Louis, at this point, the problem was it was Teddy. The problem was fucking Teddy, bro.
Always.
Yeah, that's all it was, bro. Like, ultimately, it's like, y'all shouldn't be fighting each other because it's Teddy. It's just like, Louis, the message is, if he did it to Franklin, he will do it to you.
Yeah, he's going to kill you.
Like, so, at this point, it's like, if, I don't know. I don't know, bro. I'm Team Franklin just off of principle. I done rolled with him so far. And when Jerome, spoilers for y'all who ain't caught up.
I'm Team CC.
When Jerome cracked that girl's skull, I was just like, oh, nah, I can't be on that side of this battle right now. That's like, damn. But like, when he had helped 12 pull her over, cracked her fucking skull with a fucking, by pistol whooping her, to her skull crack, bro. Like, and then I hated how they did that to Jerome, because last season he was on his spiritual journey of stillness and clarity.
And,
he addressed all this shit. So, to see him immediately regress back into to the worst parts of his nature after they just gave me all this growth. The fact that they threw out all of Jerome's growth and reduced him to a savage ass nigga. You know, a thug ass nigga who just gonna crack a bit scroll till she die in the street. You know what I'm saying? Like,
with the help of the police.
With the help of the police, bro. Took the money back to Louis. I see that shit. So, you know, I mean, him slapping Franklin was like, you know, like, frankly, emotionally, bro, you can't pull out that gun if you ain't ready to shoot. And you giving away power by even flexing to this nigga. You know that. And you know you can't play that hand because he going to be like, just do it. But, you know, that's family.
Franklin will kill that nigga, though. He just wouldn't kill his ass in a fucking diner in the middle of the fucking day. That's not the issue. Ain't Franklin will.
He'll kill Louis.
The issue is
Louis, bro. Cause like, the thing is, that's blood. Like, and that's what the conversation was about. He was like, bro, I helped raise you. And then, you know, Franklin line is like, bro, at the end of the day, even though you help do what you do, like, I got where I'm at now because I was in my position.
You was a weed dealer.
Yeah. He was just like, bro, let me tell you this. I know you think this is what you did for me. This is what it means in your eyes. But here's the reality of the way I see it. And it was just like, you just shattered that whole man reality because he thought, you know, he gonna look at you like you ain't ungrateful. Because that shit parents and older people do to us when they give us help. When we are asked for something and they can't deliver or won't deliver. And then they'll give us what they give us and expect us to be grateful for what they give us, even though it may be ill-timed or like...
Not what you asked for.
Not what you asked. Like, you like, this ain't what I asked for, but... You know, Like, you got to be thankful, even if it's, like, it's inconvenient. I feel like that's the relationship they have at this point, where it's just like, bro, the inconvenience in this relationship is, I know how much you love your wife, but I'm not going to ask you to choose between your family and your wife because she is your family. You got the right to feel that way because I do the same thing. But just know what that means. Like, just know what the fuck it means that it ain't got to be you because you family. But if you choose to take that bullet for her, that's on you. But there's a bullet with her name on it. And that's just it. And that's the thing. And it's like, if a nigga tell me there's a bullet on my wife's name on it, I got the power to stop it then. Will I stop it? That's family. You don't really want to kill that nigga either. So you just going to be like, well, I'm going to see you, sucker, whenever you decide to jump. You know what I'm saying? He going to...
Teach your man how to squabble.
Yeah, you know, he going to... But his manhood being questioned because, like, this shit is about Jerome. Them first two episodes straight up Jerome. And I like that. Like, how it was really about him being torn in half. Like, him going to his sister, and I like the fact that, you know, what's the name, told him. It's just like, nah, bro, that's a sign, bro. Like, you need to call. You think that's a coincidence? Like, nigga, call. What you dealing with right now, you really think it's a coincidence? Nigga, call your sister.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I love when he's, I want to know how he going to be involved in this season, because I know he going to be on there again.
Man, this.
And then, like, what they talking about right here, bro. CeCe, when she was talking about, you know, fuck Teddy and how he thought that I wasn't important enough to even fucking kill.
What we giving it? What's the score? From F to A, this is from TVLine.com.
I give it an A, bro. The premiere was excellent.
All right.
The premiere was excellent. The premiere is excellent.
Excellent.
I feel like, I feel like, again, they are addressing the issues. The issues that I had last season was the shit was all over the place. And it was – the shit was all over the place, and they already had shit going on. Like, you just brought in random shit. Even with Elso going to fuck with the luchadors and shit like that, and Franklin meeting him, all that shit tie in. That shit makes sense because the nigga was a luchador. Like – that's fucking fine.
I like how he showed him dude picture and he looked at him like, I know how you know him too.
Yeah.
From Lou and Jerome's wedding.
Yeah, from the acid trip.
And then he's like, damn, I saw him there too. It's just like, yeah, bro, I ain't bullshitting that, bro. I
that
won't.
That nigga's radioactive.
And see, now it's on him because I'm thinking he looking at this shit like,
Where's Oso? Where's the lady who used to fuck with Oso?
She took off with the kids.
Nah, I'm not talking about that baby mom. I'm talking about, you remember in the first couple of seasons, it was
she got killed by the damn KGB nigga in the car.
That's where the Russians are coming back from. Okay.
Yeah. Motherfucker got killed. You know what I'm saying? So they got this Cuban guy out there. I was like, they got the Cuban guy out there. I guess he's Cuban. I don't know what it is.
Wednesday West.
Hmm?
Wednesday West. You remember how the article came out comparing Jenna Ortega to Kanye West?
I mean, because she's side, you know, pro-Palestine, like, you know.
She just pretty much said they deserve not to get killed.
Yeah. That was it. Like, they deserve not to get killed, like, you know.
Yeah, Snowfall, it's starting off good. They fixed that lady's fucking wig. Which
she still look the same. This shit with her mom.
I still don't know where she came from. I don't know why she speaks French.
She's Haitian, right?
Oh, okay. That's why she speaks French. All right, never mind.
I mean, I'm assuming she Haitian. She might just be French, but I think she Haitian. But regardless,
the lady spoke. Her mom spoke Japanese, didn't she?
My mama spoke like Mandarin and fucking French.
Yeah. Who the fuck? All right, they don't have to explain
it. Bro, I don't know, but he got to do something with the money he do got. And I see him like, he was just like, cocaine cowboys going on. He said, I know some shit in Miami and hide this money. Yeah.
Before they get out to Panama. Because this is all, all this shit tied into the Iran-Contra shit and the Panama Canal and them running dope money and all that shit. So they're going to end up in Panama again. Because didn't they go to Panama last season?
I can't remember.
I remember they went to Panama before, but they're going to have to go back out to Panama. That's going to happen. But I like how they're doing this. I feel like they had enough time to kind of sit back and watch this season and be like, what can we have done better?
Mm-hmm.
Or what ends could we have tied into more? Because we still need to see – go to the cast. Gail Bean, which I found out from Stone Mountain. Leon.
Yeah, Africa.
Yeah. So him and what's the name of her in Africa?
This is she showing up.
Her name is Gail Bean in real life. I can't remember. The one that played the crackhead that he was in love with. And Leon was Leon like. Maybe she's not in this season.
I don't know, man. Good season.
Yeah, I like that. And like I said, I'm thinking that are they bringing back? They bringing back Man Boy
for this season? That nigga dead, bro. That's the overall cast. You know, he killed Man Boy. Man Boy, he been in other shit ever since that happened, though.
Yeah.
You seen a new house party?
No, I have not. Don't plan on it. American Vandal, I seen that, though. That was pretty funny. That's where I know him from. Fucking Freakish on Hulu. I'm liking it. I'm looking forward to it. I like the colors that they used in there. It was a scene, the Mexican scene specifically. They had red lighting on one side and green lighting on the other side. Red and green, and if you're a videographer, you know them colors cancel each other out. And what'll happen is it'll make orange on the camera. Like if you put them two colors together, they'll cancel each other out and they'll make it orange. And when he was walking in through it, he became orange, but then the hue of the wrestling match was also orange too, so it faded into that nice little subtle shit like that. I fucking love, because your brain picks that shit up, but unless you like cognitive of that,
I feel like, yeah, they came in strong. That was slick camera work, man. Snowfalls always look good, and I like how they sticking to their roots for this final season.
Because John Singleton was one of those people who was visually he wanted black filmmakers to be as respected as everybody else. I got the hookup, and you know those type of movies like that, they wasn't the best type of movies. But Friday, cinematically for its time, it was pretty dope. It was pretty dope. But John Singleton's movies always had that. He always put in like big, wide, establishing shots.
I said I was going to put on Nope. I ain't watched Nope since the theater. I was like, I kind of want to watch that again. Yeah. I was going to restream Nope. Because I just like...
watch Black Panther again.
Yeah, that was on the list. I was just like, I want to rewatch that one again, too. I was like, it's a couple movies before the end of this Black History Month. It's a couple movies I want to go back and revisit.
What's about Moon Girl?
Moon Girl is cool, man.
It's cute.
You know, Rafael Sadiq did the opening music, you know. He's produced, he made, you know, he does music on it.
Throughout the thing, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, the music is dope. It got a lot of style points. Like, it's a very stylistic show. I like that comic cartoon kind of, like, feel when you're watching it. Because it's like a moving comic in some instances, but then it goes right back to cartoon elements that work. Like, just simple cartoon shit. Yeah, and it's, you know, they made her, like, in the comics, she's younger. So they're making her a teenager, kind of, like, just gives her some relatability. It's kind of like Proud Family Plus or some shit like that, because you've seen this interaction before. So, I don't know, it feels natural. It was just like, nah, man, that's a dope cartoon. You know, I ain't got nothing negative to say about it, man. I think Moon Girl is probably a much-needed cartoon. Because I've never really sat down and watched, like, Craig of the Creek. But I've seen, like, a couple episodes, like, but you appreciate, like, black cartoons. Like, and that, to me, that's what it boiled down to. It's like, let me watch it to see if it's just a good cartoon without it being a black cartoon. When I say black cartoon, it just need to be good just because it's black. No, I want it to be a good cartoon. It just so happens to be black. So I feel like, you know, in the age of Boondocks, you got stuff that, you know, if you give it a chance, it's really good. So I feel like this. If it's a black cartoon, it ain't got to look like Boondocks for you to watch it. But I understand that's a completely contrasting
subject matter. Do you consider Boondocks as an anime?
No. But some people do. I don't, but some people do, and they got their reasons. I mean, I ain't no gatekeeper. So if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. It's just I don't get it, but I see why people get it because they explain it. But I mean, you know. Because I don't consider Airbender, Avatar, like, I don't consider that to be an anime.
I consider it to be anime.
I mean, because it's like the heart, bro. Like, regardless of where your animation come from, where your soul come from. Like, I think the soul of anime is a completely different. To me, there is a large contrasting difference between a cartoon and an anime. And I think, while I do believe there's some gray area, I believe for the most part, a cartoon, I feel like Hajime no Ippo and Family Guy are two completely different types of animation. Like, it's just two completely different types. Like, it's different.
Yeah, but shit, Boondocks literally has anime people designing it, right?
I mean, they use, I think, like, when it come down to the studios, you use, like, you're using, you know, same animators from anime. Like, it's just, you know, American Black. Like, you can, like I said, if you want to call it an anime, you can call it one. I just don't consider it an anime because the Boondocks was the Boondocks, man. It was the animated Boondocks. You want to call it an anime, I feel like that just puts it somewhere it don't need to be this great thing. I feel like Boondocks being just the Boondocks is, it ain't got to be an anime. Like, I don't feel like it need to be in the conversation. I feel like it deserves to be in a conversation with The Simpsons and Futurama and them more so than it deserves to be mentioned with Goku. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I'm looking at it. Like, I don't know, bro. That's like,
but it goes back to my original argument that I made all these years ago. What? Bugs Bunny's first anime.
Here you go. That was never a good argument to begin with.
America first.
There you go. A marinade. That's what you call a marinade.
A marinade.